Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
From the newest developments in realty and construction to the hottest trends in design lifestyle,
we bring you the top thought leaders, most trusted brands, and the most exciting projects in the industry
to guide you in acquiring, building, and living in your home, wherever it may be.
I'm Jules Cruz.
I'm John Aguilar.
And I'm Isa Litton. Come home to Realty TV Podcast.
Welcome to Realty TV Podcast. I'm Jules Cruz. Real estate investments are definitely exciting, but it takes a certain finesse to get it right and make the most out of it. Realty TV Podcast is here to guide you through, bringing you the hottest real estate trends, newest developments, and most trusted thought leaders to pave your path to real estate success. This is a spin-off show of Philippine Realty TV, the first real estate and construction TV show in the country, airing since 2008 and now on its 18th season. Philippine Realty TV is the top-of-mind television medium for anything related to the real estate and construction industries. Now, we welcome you to its new podcast form. Realty TV Podcast will present more in-depth discussions and features on everything real estate. Realty TV is available everywhere you listen to your podcast and also has video versions on YouTube and Facebook. Greetings to our listeners from the Philippines, Asia, and beyond. Our guest today is interior designer Karen Kalalek. She is a member of the Philippine Institute of Interior Designers and the director and co-founder of Paperspace and Paperwork Philippines. Paperspace is a collective of like-minded professionals who are committed to bringing purpose to space, driving strategy and workplace design innovation to optimize their clients' space value. It is my honor to welcome to Realty TV Podcast, Ms. Karen Kalalek. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Are you at home? Are you at home also?
Yes, I am.
I'm also working from home. So Thank you for being here in Realty TV Podcast. And I'm sure our audience is excited to learn more about workplace adaptation. Most of us are working from home. And of course, I also want to know how interior design will pave the way, you know, given this pandemic. So first and foremost, how is the pandemic treating you so far?
Thank you for asking. I think we are all on the same boat. Very, very rocky at that. But we're okay. I think that's one of the things that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
We, you know, how we have pivoted during the pandemic, and I think how we can also help others.
Yeah. So tell us your story about Paperspace. How did you start? I heard you're from Singapore originally.
Yes. So actually, I've practiced most of my professional life there. I've been there 18 years. Actually, so I went there right after passing my interior design board exam here and was hired directly. So like immediately right after I went. And from there, I've practiced interior design and project management and just continued on with my career. So even if it's interior design, I've practiced a lot of other aspects of it, right? So it includes artwork consultancy, it includes, you know, show flat decoration and things like that. So residential, commercial. But most of it, most of the 18 years is actually project management for workplace, for corporate interiors. So I've brought that back. I've been back in the Philippines for just over 7 years. Mm-hmm. And 3.5 years of that is actually Paperspace. So we've incorporated Paperspace and Paperwork in August of 2017. So we're still considered a startup, a very young company. But in terms of experience, most of us, the core team of Paperspace, we all have over almost 30 years experience. So it's a huge deal for us to come back and start sharing what we know and basically start life again, start over again in the Philippines. It's very, very different. I can't say it's easy, especially now. So just imagine coming back and, you know, just when we were getting our footing, you know, just when we were getting into the groove, right? Yeah. The pandemic hit. So, you know, if not for the business model that we have, we won't be able to last. We won't be able to survive it. So I'd like to share more of that.
Yes, actually, very, very timely. I was going to mention that. You started incorporating in 2017, and then shortly after the pandemic hit, and everybody's forced to, you know, to stay at home, work from home, right, to avoid the exposure. And you're still starting it palang, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, how are you going to adapt? So tell us more about that. What's the thought process? How are you still preparing for the pandemic? And how are you going to service clients given this situation we're all in?
Yep. So just to give you a bit of background for Paper Space, we are actually not your typical interior design or architectural firm. We are actually a platform. Mm-hmm. And Paper Space has collective members. That's what we call our partners. So these collective members may be individuals who are, you know, experts at what they do. So we cover a whole lot of range of design expertise. So all over the region again, right? So we're all from, whether they're from Bangkok, Singapore, or here in the Philippines, our collective members are comprised of either individuals or a small group of company. And I think our biggest team would be over 25 designers. But because of the pandemic, yeah, they're one of those that are, you know, hit by it, and therefore they have to let go of some of the designers. So, but we're here though. So what we do is on a per project basis, when our clients come to us, right, they look at the expertise of Paper Space and the leads. Mm. So our main difference from other design firms is that every project that we do, the clients will have an A team. So that means we are the ones you meet. We are the ones who prepared for the project. You will see us all throughout until the end of the project. So it's not very typical for a huge design firm or global design firms that, you know, most probably their creative director will come in first a couple of meetings or such. But then they also have to take care of other projects, close to projects. And then junior designers would then come in and then finish the project from there. So I think that's the main difference. So they have all these different departments to take care of the different parts of the project. Mm-hmm. So for us, we make sure that there's one single point of contact so mm-hmm. that the project will go smoothly, you know, the transfer of information, the hand-holding mm-hmm. for the client is there. So during the pandemic, there's not much of a difference, right? We are badly affected by it. Mm-hmm. But then because we are regional, that's where the projects from Singapore, from Bangkok come into us, and then we support them. The way we sort of like, we have our internal specializations. So like in Singapore, they have workplace strategy as mm-hmm. their main core competency. While in Bangkok, we have concept design. While here in the Philippines, our core competency, which we export sort of our mm-hmm. skills, would be the back end. So we have Architect Joel is my partner here. And then he actually leads the regional team for mm-hmm. the construction. So the design development until construction documentation. So it means without those, right, the concept will not be executed properly. So we're very, very good at that. So we do from CAD to Revit, even 3D. We also help with 3D. So those three components, actually, when you put them together, and during this time, right, so most of the projects that actually helped us are all regional projects. Mm-mm. Here in the Philippines, as you know, because of our situation, it's a total lockdown, total halt of businesses nationwide, except for some, the food and the medicine, right, is very different. But the normal, like, corporate clients that we have, all the projects have halted. mm-hmm. and or put on hold or you know one way or another stopped. That's how we survived, right? With our regional projects, and we just continue working. And the best thing about it is that we made use of our time mm-hmm. to do our own research regionally. So that's where workplace adaptation came about. Just when the pandemic hit, we have started this research.
Let's talk about that, Ms. Karen. There's a lot of talk now about, you know, trying to balance work from home. Earlier this year, it was all about, okay, everyone's working from home, avoid the exposure, try to balance, you know. But now they're talking about, you know, that work from home may not be the complete solution because our productivity will also suffer, especially for working parents. I mean, yes. You've seen parents trying to balance their time homeschooling at the same time because there's no barrier anymore. You live with your work at home. Yes. So given that, given your research now and workplace adaptation, tell us more about the strategy and solutions that you're coming up with in order to offer to your clients who are trying to prepare for the new normal setup of the workplace here in the Philippines.
We actually did a regional study with actual clients. So like here in the Philippines, we have worked with Kantar. So they have over 500 employees, right? So we have used different companies from different countries, from the four countries, and put the results of that study together. So we have had common characteristics of, you know, that came out of it. So we've had leadership interviews of the CEOs, from the CEOs, management committees and stuff. And then we've had focus groups from within the company. And we've also had different forms of the way we get information from them, right? So, you know, different countries did their own way of communicating to the clients if work from home works for them or not. So eventually we've had all these results gathered and then we've come up with something. So you can imagine that when we started, like you, for example, you've mentioned, you're from the corporate world, from 100% working from the office and then 100% working from home. It's a shock to the system. So a lot of people, there are good and bad things. You know, you discover a whole lot of good things about it. And a lot of companies, like the company that we have included in our study, realized that they have been trying to do this digital transformation within their group. And they find it difficult. Now, there's a lot of resistance.
True.
There's a lot of, right? There's a lot of, you know, even if all of us are so active in Facebook and in social media, but when it comes to work, you sort of like, no, I just want to stay.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Right?
Even when you try to communicate through emails, it's very monotonous. There's a lot of miscommunications happening.
Yes.
It's still different to, you know, work face to face.
Yes.
The social interaction, the what they call the water cooler effect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's us. I think it's quite simply us being a very social group, right? For some people, it's all right, but for us, we miss that interaction. So what we found out is that, you're right. There are a lot of people who are so affected by it. There are a lot of people who have done well with it. A lot of millennials have done well. So they would rather work longer hours, but they choose which hour to work with. While the older ones prefer to have a very structured, you know, normal breakfast, lunch, dinner kind of timing, right? So now you have that freedom. Right. So what we're trying to say with workplace adaptation is that there's a need for the company itself to know whether they are ready. Right. Mm-hmm. Because when you say workplace adaptation, it just doesn't mean the physical space. You remove one person from the office, you put the person at home. It works. It doesn't. So you actually have a few pillars that goes with it. So one would be leadership. Right. So in terms of leadership, do you have that support from your manager? It means are you given that trust to finish that kind of work? Well, in the office, there constantly on you, right? They're constantly, have you done that?
Yeah.
Have you? You know, it's immediate, right? Immediate reaction, immediate response. But working from home, it's not that way. They can work at night, you know, finish it the next night. It's different. The workflow is different. The energy is different. So that's one, you know, the leadership and management support. And then the next one is the employee themselves. Are they okay? Is their setup okay at home? Is it quiet? Is it, you know, are they distracted? You're going to be very, very surprised that a lot of people get depressed if they don't have interaction, right?
True.
And I've experienced that personally. I know a lot of people personally who got depressed because of that. And I really, you know, you have to go out of your way to go to them, try to take them out, you know, even if it's in the middle of the pandemic, you know, your mental health is so important. Get them out and have a quick coffee or quick talk. And then get them back in. So, you know, those types of things for the employee, you know, they have a lot of reasons how they cannot perform well. What happened to most of us is we've experienced digital burnout.
True.
Right?
I really.
You start work. You know, you're expected to attend Zoom meetings from 8:30 in the morning until 7:30 at night. Or conference calls, if you have calls from the U.S. and stuff until the next morning, it doesn't make sense. You're actually working more,
yes,
right, than when you were in the office, you know, because you're expected, oh, no, it's okay. You can sleep what time, you know, in the middle of the day. But it's actually not fair. You can imagine you have two things now. You have the leadership and management support, and now you have your employee sort of like background, right, whether or not they can cope with their existing setup at home. So the last one would be technology, right? It would be the tools. It will be the things that will support you to become productive. So yes, you know, a lot of us with the amazing internet that we have, right? So it's amazing.
So far from Singapore, Miss Karen.
When I got here, it's almost non-existent to me. It's really from very, very fast internet to like next to none. Literally next to none. You have to, in one place actually, when I first arrived in one subdivision where I stayed, it's like, you know, you have to figure out, you know, what is best suited. You know, is it Globe? Is it Smart? Is it Converge? Is it, you know, StarHub? You know, you don't know which one will work, but you have to apply for them all and then see which ones would work for that exact house number, exact street. Can you imagine that? That's how poor our infrastructure was, you know, so that was like 7 years ago. So now, I'm not so sure how it is, but we still experience
it's improving.
That.
I think it's improving.
Yeah.
But not to mention, Ms. Karen, also the sharing of bandwidth, right? All your kids are also, you know, homeschooling. You're all using the same internet.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's something's got to give. We're not experiencing it all at the same time. I think we have different situations. And you're right. Companies should consider the different situations of employees.
What we're here for is that we drive a strategy to be able to help the organization get to that sweet spot. Right, of what is best suited for them as a group to actually help in making sure that what do they need for the office. And so another thing that has come out from it is that we realize that the office will not be away, will not be gone totally, but the use of it might be different. So maybe people will go back to the office to talk in front of the water cooler.
Yes.
Right? To accidentally bump into each other, to collaborate, to train, you know, that kind of thing, to do face-to-face meetings. It's like there are certainly, you know, other important things then that we know we could use the office for. While your concentrated work or maybe the things that you can do on your own, then you can do that from home. So right now, I think to cap this sort of like conversation off is that where right smack in the middle of it, right? Mm-hmm. You have the 100% office on the left side. Then on the right side, you have 100% home. So what would be the perfect middle, right? So we don't have a proper name for it yet, but internally we're playing around. But on top of mind, it will come up as a hybrid, mm-hmm. right? It may be part office and part home. Is it a 50-50 kind of thing? Or is this where we as paperwork come in?
Mm-mm.
Or as Dragon's Nest come in, right? So paperwork is in San Juan. It's actually mm-hmm. located in the heart of a residential area. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, most of our clients, they are working from home and they're sick of it. They don't have internet. They have blackouts. Well, we do also, but then we close. So, but then, yeah. You know,
they
then
like chickens in the background, diba?
Dogs. You know, so they come in. I mean, our place is also not perfect. We have to admit that. But it's a conducive space. And then they have at least faster internet. And then they can see us, you know, who are also working, just have a chat and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, you have a respite from your enclosed home, work from home kind of setup. So that's how we feel co-working spaces would serve, actually. Its primary purpose is to, I mean, that's how I started it. It's really to house all our collective members. It's to support people like me who came from abroad, for example, who mm-hmm. are coming back, or not even just came from abroad, like you, for example. One of these days, you will quit your corporate job. Become a consultant or become an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, we are here. You know, places like Dragon's Nest, places like paperwork and our affiliates, we are here to support you. So it means mm-hmm. whether you want to start a business, so it's starting from your business registration, trademarking, if you need a lawyer, accountant, everything, you know. It's basically the setting up of a professional practice. It's just good to know that there are people who are genuinely there to help you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, and Dragon's Nest is a very big deal for me because John is there as a mentor, mm-hmm. and it's a huge plus. You know, I was just wishing that, you know, when I arrived, I went there. You know, there's such a thing as Dragon's Nest, and then I would go there and I would like just bloom, you know, that kind of thing. So, but now it's not too late. We are partnering up, and this is my invitation to a lot of people out there that whether they're entrepreneurs or designpreneurs, right, they can come to us, paperwork or Dragon's Nest. We will be there to help them. It's mm-hmm. it's actually welcoming them and helping them to start.
It's so timely because, let's be honest, because of this pandemic, there were a lot of layoffs also from the corporate world. And I'm sure those employees are already starting on their own.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it could be someone who formerly was an accountant, for example, got unfortunately laid off and is now using the separation
yes.
pay
yes.
to come up with a business. And yun pala, she wants to be a designpreneur.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very timely because you're actually giving a platform, Miss Karen, for people who want to start again.
Yes.
Want to start fresh.
Yes.
A platform that will help them thrive.
Yes.
Give them a second chance, no, here in 2020.
Correct. And when we mean help, right, it's not just a sales talk or a sales mm-hmm. pitch just for them to come over. It's not like that. Actually, we are prepared to mentor, and we are even sharing our library, our materials library for designers or even those who are taking their board exams, right? So mm-hmm. that's one of those things that we would like to locate at Dragon's Nest when paperwork is there also, so that we can continue inviting these young designers or even those who want to strike out on their own and then doing their own projects. We can support them in any way we can. Mm-hmm. And even sharing our suppliers, even sharing our, you know, once they're part of us, we can also share our contacts with them and help them get the best prices for, you know, the things that they need for their projects. So it really goes through and through. We're not just saying it as, you know, just come and join us so that you can rent the space. It's not just like that. Yeah.
So it's like paperwork with your partnership with Dragon's Nest. That's your first in the Philippines, right? That's your maiden project. So just to summarize, it's paper space, your experience in paper space in Singapore, and how many years of expertise you brought it back here in the Philippines with paperwork. Now you've partnered with Dragon's Nest. So it's like Dragon's Nest is, you know, it's the proof is in the pudding, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So if they want to, can you tell them again about the location of Dragon's Nest and how they can go to that special space that you created?
So actually Dragon's Nest has been built since end of 2019 November, but then the pandemic hit. So it wasn't really launched formally yet, so we are actually refreshing the space up, and paperwork is stepping in to help with different scopes, from branding to social media management to project management, to the launch. So I'm sure you guys will be there. And actually, we're celebrating our internal Christmas party with Dragon's Nest on December 18th. So it will be all online for most of us, for within the team. But we will be there to sort of like kick off the project. And we are so excited because we have our existing partners that will be joining us to support us. And, you know, we want to make it a big thing. And we're planning this first quarter of 2021. So, again, you know, this is one of those things that comes up within the pandemic, right? There's something good in anything. So we're planning that to be launched in a big way, because I think both John and I and Monica are all thinking of how we can help, how we can extend genuine help to entrepreneurs. And for them, it's even a higher level because they are angel investors. They're venture capital companies. So it's a higher level. They're actually into investments. So, you know, I think between our teams, you know, plus the future entrepreneurs who will be occupying Dragon's Nest, you can imagine the endless possibilities and networking, mentorship, and also it will be a possible backdrop for the final pitch, you know, when they have the mentoring stage and stuff. So, and then other activities. So we're very excited, right? And I think it's not only that, but a genuine point here would be paperwork is very, very eager to help Dragon's Nest in terms of management, in terms of their co-working space management. And we're giving them the tools that we have learned from when we started so that, you know, those precious 3 years of suffering, they won't have to like go through, okay. Right? So it's an amazing kind of collaboration that how we can maximize our strengths and therefore make the most out of it. So I think the more successful we are, the more means we have to help others. And that's our main driver. So that's why we're so excited.
Great. I want to talk about this ideology that you have. I've read. It's very interesting. On office. Tell us more about this ideology, Ms. Karen. And how would big organizations that, you know, that are set in their ways, how are they going to adapt to this ideology that you mentioned?
Again, there's no simple answer. And it could get really, really technical. But un-officing actually requires a group, right? Or a company. You know, you can actually get away from the norm. So, you know, office is office. You know what an office means. So un-officing means you could still be productive. You could still do what you do best. Do what you love without the boundaries, right? So this is where we are right now. We are all forced to an office, right? But the question is, are we productive? Are we happy? Can we take it? can we do this in the long term, right? Or are we just hanging on until the pandemic is resolved? But unofficing for us is a strategy wherein if your organization fits the bill, you know, like I've said, you have the support of the management, the individual is well equipped to be working from anywhere. In other words, they will be agile, right? And they have the tools in terms of technology, in terms of the hardware, you know. Then, yes, right? Anybody can an office. But you have to be equipped. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. And within a corporate structure, it's the culture that drives it, right? It's the trust of the organization to their employees that they can do the job anywhere they choose. Right?
Yeah. It's so interesting because, you know, a lot of people think that interior design and strategizing about your space is about mostly about homes, no? Houses, condos, but I've never seen nor heard of, well, in my seat right now, I've never heard of someone like your company talagang, you really focus on workplaces and it's very timely. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners are wondering, how do you think your company can help them if they're listening right now and trying to figure out, you know, I love what Ms. Karen talked about and I want the same ideology for my business. How can you help them? And what kind of learnings do you want to impart to young interior designers who may be looking up to you right now, Ms. Karen?
First, for those who are looking for workplace professionals, it would be good to approach us so that we can have a chat with them. I think that's the first step. We need to understand their needs. We need to understand their vision. And then we can work towards their strategy. So if the company doesn't really know where they're going, it's a few steps ahead of us, right? Or behind us that they need to work on first. And then they let us know. And if not, let's say they're not 100%, we do have that... It's called a different scope within the design stage. It's called a pre-design stage, wherein it's really a workplace strategy, right? That we help the clients discover where their organization is going, what do the leaders think, or what are their visions, what does the employees sort of like feel, and, you know, what are their sentiments, you know, that kind of thing. So I think having these different views from within an organization will help shape the decision-making process in terms of the organization's direction for the future, right? So it would take really, really good leaders who will do this step because especially during or right in the middle, or even after the pandemic, right? You know, sometimes it's very hard to be thinking about things when you are in the middle of it. Sometimes a lot of us would need an external party to look into what we're doing and then help us lead them in very, very structured processes to come up with that end result. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, we're doing the same for us at this moment. We have our business. I mean, I have to be transparent. We have our bi-weekly meetings with our Singapore consultant. He's a business consultant and we need him to sort of like help us drive to that planning for 2021 until 2025. So we don't really want to just sit here. Oh, you know, we've already finished our research. We know we're happy with this. It's not like that. I think there's more to it on how we need to position ourselves. You know, we can't keep on helping people or we can't keep on adding value to our clients if we stay put, right?
Correct.
For all of us, we have to evolve. Yeah, you're right. And we have to keep on learning.
Yes,
so within ourselves, within the researches that we keep on doing, we are you know, within this exercise right now, we're being forced to like research in all our in all our markets and stuff like that. You know how difficult it is. Again, we're not business people, right? We're designers. So we're being forced to like do things that, you know, we're not very used to, but we have to. So it, but it's a very good exercise. And I think once we're ready and once, you know, I mean, we have a lot of things to share. We have a lot of expertise to share with those who are interested. But then we don't stop there. I think that's the main thing.
I have one more question because I'm really curious about this. I know we're jumping from one to the next because, you know, this is a free-flowing thing. I'm very curious because a lot of companies have different generations within them, right? C-suite professionals are from the baby boomer, Gen X generations. And now I'm millennials are in the workplace. Majority, I think, of the young professionals are millennials, and the Gen Z are coming in. So what's your advice to listeners who own businesses who come from a different generation? How do you think they should be able to retain and attract their young talents, their millennials and Gen Z, given the pandemic? This is so interesting for me.
Very good question. So the way I see it is that you deal with different people in the way that they are most receptive. So if you know that, for example, this older person doesn't really jive very well with Twitter. At the most, they would do is text, right? Viber at the most, right? Then you deal with them that way. You sort of like can't force people. Again, this is one of the results that we've had, you know, with our research, that there are so many generations that organizations shouldn't look at their employees only on regarding their age, right? But on what they can do, on what they can offer the company. So even if an older person is not so techie, but then they offer that mentorship level, right? On how to deal, it's their, you know, the factor that, you know, you have the skills that's been developed through the years in how to deal with clients, you know, as well as your coworkers. It's very different than from a very young person, you know, who just graduated, who may be very, very good at social media, but then no personal skills, right? So you deal with them, you know, differently. And then when you do learn how to deal with them, then they will flourish. If you keep on putting people in one box and you know people are so different, then you will find a team who is very unhappy, right? You will find that they don't really collaborate very well because of how they're forced to think. So in my case, it's the same thing. I have Arlene, who's like 50 over. Then I have Renz, who's like 24, and Noah, who's 24. So, you know, the way we treat them is very, very different. But I think the common thing about this is that is the transparency. So if you speak to them with all sincerity and you're transparent in everything, in your plans for the company, in your, you know, this is our dream, right? So do you share it? That's the only thing that we're asking our staff for. It's the passion. So anything that you're doing, whether it's even, you know, accounting or you're just doing the books, you know, or doing the, you know, booking, to what the creatives are doing, Noah and Renz, I keep on telling them, if you stop loving what you're doing, then stop. And then find it. Find that passion. Because money will follow you, right? If you're doing something so passionately and so lovingly, you know, your boss will see it, your colleagues will see it, and most of all, your clients will see it. Right, and that's my advice to everyone. And find people like us. Find people like us who are willing to help you, because if you keep on talking to all older people, they will have a different type of wisdom that they can share. right? Even if your parents, talk to your parents, you know, the type of things that they will share with you, their experiences will keep you well-rounded and grounded, right? You don't get confused with all the social media. I really don't subscribe to that. But I like all those uplifting videos. I'm a sucker for that. But, you know, but you know, use that, you know, use the positive things, positive aspects of everyone around you, of your environment, so that you can continue improving yourself.
And I love that because you're using that ideology, that philosophy. I'm sure you're taking all those learnings and how you plan and design a space for your clients, right? So to me, it sounds like you really take a holistic approach.
Yes.
In how you plan for your clients. And I think our listeners should remember that. If you want a design firm that thinks about the holistic approach in planning for your workspace, given the pandemic, the new normal, you should consider Paper Space and Paperwork.
That's not for me.
yes, of course. No, I'm so blown away. I haven't seen it the same way. I'm coming out of this conversation having a different mindset, a realization that opened my eyes. So thank you so much for that, Ms. Karen. Any message for our listeners, for our viewers, how do they get in touch with your company? Any new projects that you want to announce?
Thank you. First of all, thank you very much for all the positive things. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I think they go to our website, I think is the best. We haven't touched anything about our projects. Like in the very short span of 3 years here in the Philippines, we have actually finished 2 Google projects and they are the biggest BPOs in Asia.
Wow.
So, and they can go over to our website to have a look at some of the photos that we have there. We have a whole lot of projects across regions. We also have done Facebook's HQ here in Manila.
Wow.
Yep. And also across the region. So we have done in Mumbai, in Malaysia. Actually, to be honest, we don't have local projects here in the Philippines. We only have multinational clients.
I'm sure after this conversation, Ms. Karen, your phone will ring.
No, I hope so. Thank you for that. I take it as a very, very positive affirmation. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to that.
And so, yeah, to the listeners, you've heard it from Ms. Karen. Visit their website. What's the URL, Ms. Karen?
It's paperspace.asia.
Is there a social media page that they can visit?
Yes. We are on Facebook, Paperspace Philippines, Paperspace Thailand, Paperspace Asia. We are also on LinkedIn, Paperspace Asia, and our Instagram. We have Paperspace Philippines. So I think on all those channels, whichever they're most comfortable with, they can have a look and they can find a whole lot of interesting topics. And visually, of course, it's stunning because it's a creation of our collective members, our designers from all over the region. And you'll see how talented they are and you'll see how, you know, how diverse designs may be within the region. So just a quick one, just to give you a background of like how we did Facebook, for example. So Facebook, as you know, is from the US and they have this playbook, right? A design playbook that we need to follow and needs to be duplicated in all countries. So that's what we did. They have international consultants. Our concept is actually from Bangkok. And then the contact, right? Our main point of contact is from Singapore because their HQ is in Singapore. And then a regional HQ is in Singapore. While here in the Philippines, Joel and I did the design development all throughout until the construction stage, right? Until it's completed. So that synergy of collaboration within the region, you know, is smooth. And the clients won't feel that there are bumps or, you know, lost information along the way So that's an example of how we can do multiple projects in multiple countries, right? Even if they're all running at the same time. So it's an amazing way of extending our expertise cross-country.
So that's it, Ms. Karen. Thank you so much for being here. Any last message to our listeners?
Thank you so much, Jules. I really enjoyed our time, and our chat. And I hope I was able to clearly communicate what we can do. And hopefully we hear from you, especially when we do launch Dragon's Nest. They're actually located in Calle Industria in Quezon City. It's very near Eastwood. And we are so excited with this project together with Paperwork and Paperspace. So you'll hear more from us, definitely, because we would like to share more about this project that's coming up. Thank you so much again.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Karen Kalalek, for being here with us, for sharing your wisdom, your expertise, and for being an inspiration, I'm sure, to many young interior designers out there. Thank you for sharing your story. And to our listeners, thank you for listening in. And this is Jules Cruz once again of Realty TV Podcast. I'll see you next time. Bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.